Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangaroos or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was joined by Frank Descalzo once again to discuss our impressive round 22 game against the Adelaide Crows. We always come up with a win, but at the end of the day, I think injuries really hurt us. It pretty much cost us any chance of a win. But there's plenty of good signs, particularly in that first half, that second quarter, LDU and Jai Simpkin just taking over the midfield. So, yeah, plenty to discuss. There's plenty, you know, talk of what happened today as well with the Ben Rutten situation, getting sacked 1 minute and then, you know, keeping his job the next. So, yeah, we talked a little bit about that and the panic that went through the Twitterverse, I guess. So, yeah, no, plenty of discussion points. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Frank right now. All right, so I'm once again joined by Frank the Tank. Now, Frank, before we get into the game and our thoughts about that and the Ben Cunnington comeback, how were your thoughts about 2:30 or 3 o'clock this afternoon when you heard that Ben Rutten had been sacked and the possibility that Essendon might be going after Clarkson?
Yes, I think everyone took a deep breath, Dean. I mean, unless you're in the know or you're part of his family or you're on the board, I think for any one of us outside of that group, I think we all took a collective deep breath and sort of went, oh, don't tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time this sort of thing's happened where on the last minute we get something happens like a Dustin Martin or Andrew Gaff or something like that where they change their mind after initially agreeing to come to the club. And when I heard about it, I thought it's a bit strange to do it a week before the final round to let a coach go unless you've got a real plan and going to throw a last-minute attempt at Alistair Clarkson. That was my initial thoughts at the time.
That Dean, and the fact that there seems to be a lot of unrest there, and I sort of thought, would that be an issue with him? Unless that they had been talking to him secretly for a month prior or something like that. But it seemed to me that, other than just pure scuttlebutt, I sort of thought to myself, geez, he'd be a brave man to walk away. I know that we're not exactly setting the world on fire with what's happening, at board level with us either. But I sort of thought, geez, that's a lot to try and digest, to convince you to change your mind.
Yeah, 100%. Especially, pretty much the last hour. I mean, it looks like he's all pretty much done. I'm not too sure if he signed or not, but it looks like a decision will be made possibly later this week or next week. I mean, they're the rumours, and they're quite strong rumours that we're hearing. So it would have been, a bit strange that, to come in the last minute and try and swoop him. I know on the David King show, I think it's First Crack last night, he was sort of having a go at Essendon that they should have really looked at Alistair Clark some weeks ago. So I don't know, maybe they were watching, they thought, oh, well, let's try him now or something like that. So, yeah, it's... yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. It sent a bit of a panic towards me, I must admit that. But, I'm glad it's all over with. And as far as I know, he is coach at the moment. And, I don't think anything's changed in the last couple of hours, has it?
No, not that I've seen, mate. I've been sort of looking over the net, just doing a few things and been checking regularly, and I haven't seen any sort of change. So I think, mate, it's either one or two things, isn't it, Dean? It's that you sort of think to yourself, if we haven't got Clarkson's commitment at this stage, maybe he doesn't really want to do it, or we've got his commitment and the club's just so confident that he's signed, sealed and delivered that they're not even going to bother acknowledging the rumours.
Yeah, no, I think that's what's happened, to be honest with you. I mean, who knows, they might have thinking, oh, we'll sack him, but we'll just find out if Clarkson's available. And maybe they rang his manager, and his manager said, no, he's committed to North Melbourne. And they said, all right, we'll keep him now. Oh, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Without knowing the inner sanctum of either of the clubs, it could quite easily have been something along those lines. So, and I've said to my boys, Dean, until I see Clarkson in a North tracksuit at the press conference, he's still not our coach.
Yeah, 100%. And you can't be,
you can't ever be overly confident with these sort of things either. So, yeah, well, hopefully we'll know more in the coming days. But, yeah, there's a bit of a strange turn of events there over a 2 or 3 hour period. Apparently the president's stepped down. He's still on the board or something like that. So they've got a new president who's not that fond of Ben Rutten, apparently. So,
yeah,
I mean, this is all speculation at the end of the day. So we don't know. We'll see what happens. We might as well go to our football club. I'll start with the reserves. They played at Coburg around 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. It was good to get a good performance from Jason Lord Francis, who was in the news once again through his omission, not doing his recovery properly in the ice bath. Taron Thomas seems to be growing each week, and Charlie Gorman kicked 3 goals as well. So he's getting there. He's had a good 3 or 4 weeks. To get his fitness right up to scratch at AFL level. It's probably a bit too late as far as that goes, but we should get him back in this week. Jack Marnie kicked 4 goals as well. So, yeah, no, pretty. Flynn Perez as well, 26 possessions. And that kind of, you kind of expected it, but it's still good to get those performances from, particularly Jason Lord Francis, which we're not too sure what we're going to get with him, were we, once he got omitted.
No, that's right. No, I watched the live stream of the game up until the seniors came on, and I looked at other things too, Dean, like his body language and his demeanour around the stoppages and after goals and stuff. And he seemed to get around teammates, and it seemed like really positive sort of body language every time he was involved in passages with Taron Thomas and himself. So it looked like a really good response.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the main thing. It was more his attitude. Like, he did cop a tag as well, according to Tom Lynch. I'm not so sure. There didn't seem to be too many players near him when every time he got the ball. But, apparently copped a tag. And, yeah, his attitude was first class, which is all he can ask for. I mean, how have you seen his first season? He started off like a house on fire, and it has stagnated. And, there's been question marks about his attitude. Have you seen it on the overall scale?
Well, look, I think, Dean, I was saying to someone earlier today, he's probably experienced more losses this year than he had in his entire junior career. He's probably never played in a side that lost 11 games in a row. So he's probably found himself under pressure. It could be a combination of being disappointed because, he's the number one draft pick and he wanted to make a difference immediately. There's been some moments there, even against the Swans, where he looked frustrated, almost not disinterested, but just really sort of unmotivated. He's a young kid. He's come off a ton of losses and some really, really bad ones. I think that all in all, it wasn't the year that we hoped he'd have, but I'm hopeful that, particularly with someone like Ben Cunnington back and a new coach, that he can sort of start to experience the good side of footy.
Yeah, 100%. Look, at the end of the day, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty well in the first sentence, sort of saying he hasn't been in a team where he's experienced this much loss in his whole pretty much junior career. So it's a big adjustment for him. He hasn't adapted to that. He's been very immature on occasions, recovery. I think it's, during the week, not doing the ice bath properly, which is something we take very seriously. And that's a standard Lee Adams has set, which has been really good. I've been really impressed with him, on a side note, in the 5 weeks he's coached us. So, he's got to get better in just the little things, and that'll add up into performances on a Saturday because, for all the talent he's got, you still got to work hard, and you've got to work just as hard as everyone else, training, recovery as well. So, it's a good lesson for him. He's still only 19, so I'm not too worried about him. Would you offer him I think it's a good time to get him at a bit of a discount, like at the end of the year, like in a contract extension?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'd be trying to desperately sign him to extend it by 3 years. And like you said, bank that he will develop into the player that we all think he will. But the thing is, you've got to get him to sign. And at the moment, there's a lot of reasons why he wouldn't want to stick around. We got to give him, maybe a new coach and and a couple of wins early next year or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, he might go, yeah, look, I want to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, from all reports, he's not going to request a trade or anything back to Adelaide, and we're not going to trade him. So, yeah, there's no worry about that. It's just, I think even an extra 12 months, get another 2 years, for that security purposes, and then we can discuss it in the next season if he wants another contract extension to go from there. Tarryn Thomas, I think he'll be back in the seniors this week. Looked a class above in the reserves. Charlie Conlon, I'd like to see that Nick Larkey-Charlie Conlon combination happening for at least one round this year. So, yeah, I think he'll come in this week as well. So, yeah, good signs that, not great in the seniors. We've obviously had a few injuries, which we'll get to there. But, there's plenty of depth now. I mean, I think we had 15 AFL-listed players, which is in the reserves, which is unheard of, really, this year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing too, Dean, was that we'll probably touch on it a bit later, was that I saw Compton take a few centre bounces too, which was interesting.
Yeah, well, that might be an option if he does go into seniors this week. So, yeah, no, that's because you kind of need that second ruck behind Goldstein. So, we'll discuss that. We might as well go to the seniors now. We've probably discussed enough of the reserves and their impressive 10-goal win. What are your thoughts on the seniors game? Do you think it was an opportunity that was slipped a little bit that, we probably should have on the balance, especially after the first half, that we should have won? Or were you not too worried about the result at the end of the day? It was more there were signs there for next year.
Yeah, I wasn't too concerned. And to be honest, Dean, once we got down to one rotation at three-quarter time, I thought it's going to take a miracle to win it from here. Disappointing that we didn't kick a goal in the last quarter and it ended up being 30 points or, 29 or whatever. But I thought in the lead up to that, I thought we were really good. There were some really good signs. The second quarter, we showed really what we can do when we attack the ball and put pressure on. So there was a lot of good signs.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you look at the first half in particular. I think it was 39 inside 50s to 19. They had 14 scoring shots out of their 19 inside 50s. It was just more. I think Ricky put a good article up on the shinbone.com talking about that we might have just pressed a bit too high with their defense, and they were able to get a few scores out the back. Yeah. But 39 inside 50s. The second quarter was just, I haven't seen a dominant performance like that in the second quarter since pretty much Carlton last year. Third quarter, we kicked, I think, 7-0. And that was Ben Cunnington's last game that he played before he started getting a few problems with his health. So, yeah, it's funny that how one player can do that for you. I mean, I'll talk about some second quarter statistics to you. Disposals, 107-67 in our favour. Contested possessions, 38-21. Inside 50s, 22-5. Clearances, 16-5. I'll talk about a couple of individual players. Luke Davies-Uniac, 12 disposals, 6 contested, 4 clearances, 3 inside 50s. Jai Simkin, 11 disposals, 6 contested, 5 clearances, and 5 inside 50s. Usually, that's what's been happening to us this year, hasn't it? Like, it's been almost the opposite way.
Yep, yeah. And I thought the big plus for us was when they moved Keys onto LDU because they just couldn't control him. And Keys has been a really pivotal player for them. So when he went on to LDU on sort of what seemed like at least a tag in the middle, I thought we've got control of this at the moment, and it was a matter of how much control and how long we could hang on for.
Yeah, I mean, look, I kind of knew at halftime that it was going to be a tag go to LDU. They couldn't, 24 possessions in the first half with about 500 metres gained. They had to do something. I mean, he had statistics that were impressive for a full game, let alone a half. They had to stop him. But, in saying that, like, if that happened next year and you've got a fully fit Ben Cunnington, a Jai Simkin still up and about, you've got Jed Anderson, Tom Powell going through, and it wouldn't matter so much if LDU got tagged. Like, we'd have other options and we could push him forward. But
correct.
At the end of the day, we had Ben Cunnington. Sort of said we're down to one rotation. It was almost lucky to be that, really. We had to keep Cameron Zerha on in the last quarter, who was struggling a little bit. We had to rotate Ben Cunnington, who was gassed probably by three-quarter time. He had to go forward for periods. So we're really up to about 16, 17 players to finish a game. So, yeah, it was look, at the end of the day, like we said, you know, it was, yeah, there's a body of work there, and, you know, I mean, there's something to build from football club in 2023 onwards, isn't there?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, we can't complain too much. I mean, at the end of the day, was it just the injuries that you believe cost us the game?
Oh, look, I think it took away any chance we had of winning. I think even if those three hadn't have been hurt, we may still not have won the game. But I think it was going to be an arm wrestle up until we lost Anderson, Stevenson, and Zeeble. I think that kind of just on pure rotations probably lent itself to Adelaide getting over the line. So I don't think it was a lockdown victory if they hadn't have been hurt, but it certainly made it easier for Adelaide.
Yeah, I wasn't when Jack Zeeble got subbed out, I wasn't too concerned with that one. I thought, oh, we've got a sub in Hugh Greenwood. Look, I thought, oh, that's not bad. We get another midfield rotation in there. That'll help us a little bit, because they started probably halfway through the third quarter. They started evening up in the centre clearances and the stoppages around the ground. So I thought, oh, we get Hugh Greenwood on. But it was more the injuries that happened after that. Like Jed Anderson really hurt, I thought, at the time. Like he would have been another midfielder that would have gone in the last quarter. Obviously, Jaden Stevenson as well. I'm not too sure what happened there. I don't know if he was getting back spasms or so forth, but he had to. It pretty much all fell apart within about 20 minutes, didn't it? All these injuries.
It did. And one side note there, Dean, that I haven't seen mentioned in the media is I'm actually rather surprised that Jed Anderson was let back out onto the ground for that sort of brief 2 to 3 minutes, I think, and then he was subbed off. Which was really bizarre, because the replay seemed to show that he'd got absolutely poleaxed in that ruck stoppage. It came off and then went back on and then got sent off and concussed. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a please explain from the club about that.
Yeah, I mean, he staggered to his feet. I think it was a marking contest through the corridor or something. He got a knee to the head and he staggered on his feet and he ran off and, like, he was jogging off slowly, and then he got stitches or whatever he got done to his cheek. And then all of a sudden, he was back on the ground. And I thought, well, that's a bit strange. And then that was it. He got subbed out about 5 minutes later. Oh, not subbed out. They said, oh, he can't go back on the ground. Because he's got a concussion. I was thinking, oh, geez, they're going to have to look into this, because, yeah, I don't know who passed him fit that he was all right to come back onto the ground. But, yeah, I found that bit very strange. And I'd be surprised if the AFL don't look at that and sort of ask questions to our medical staff about why he was allowed back onto the ground. So, that one really hurt, I thought. The first half, I felt like, you know, with the control we had, we probably should have been 5 or 6 goals in front, shouldn't we?
Well, I would have loved Paul Curtis to have kicked that one at half time and gone in 13 points up. I think that might have just made Adelaide that much, a little bit more nervous. But look, it wasn't to happen, unfortunately. But I thought, all in all, we performed a lot better than many people thought we would.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about Ben Cunnington. How much of an effect did that have on a playing group? But it seemed like I tweeted at the time, it seemed like a lot of players grew a foot taller with him around, didn't they?
Well, I mean, he's an amazing footballer, Dean, and I think you and I have spoken about this before. I honestly don't know how he finds the football, because he moves so slowly. He has one speed. He really doesn't have a second or third gear, yet the guy just finds the football continually. And I think, for some particular reason, when he's out there, whether it's the way he helps the midfield set up, maybe the younger kids think, oh, you know, we've got a bull in here with us now who can protect us. I don't know what it is, but when he's out on that ground, everyone seems to play that much better.
Yeah, I mean, he's the heart and soul of the club. I think Jack Siebel said that last week when he was picked. Like, it's amazing how much of a difference he makes. And, like, he's never been a very quick, sort of player. Like, he's never had any pace. Like, he's probably a bit slower now. I mean, that's just part of it. But he's got the football smarts. And every time he gets the ball on a back flank or something, he always looks for that 45 kick and usually hits it as well. Like, he did that within the first 2 minutes of the game. Hit Jai Simpkin with a centre corridor kick, and it just opened up the ground. So, yeah, I mean, his impact is huge. And this is not just this game. This has been, you know, previous years as well. How much of a better team we are when he's in the team. So, yeah, I mean, he is the heart and soul of the club. And if he's fit and healthy next year, we'll be a much different team next year. So, yeah, he's just as important as, you know, he's probably the most important player as far as that goes. You know, I know a lot of people talk about Nick Larkey and, you know, maybe Ben McKay has been more, you know, just as important. But, yeah, I think he's, you know, as far as heart and soul goes, he adds three or four goals to our team every week. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, all this health stuff is behind him, and he'll have a good pre-season. And I mean, at the end of the day, he was gassed by three-quarter time, and that's just part and parcel of football. Yep. Now, we'll go to his mate, Luke Davies-Uniac. He's as good as anyone at the moment, isn't he?
Mate, that first half, I can't remember seeing a North Melbourne player dominate a first half of football like he did on the weekend. It was, I was actually laughing in different stages of it, just thinking, mate, this kid is going to win the game off his own boot.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about his possessions before. I mean, 24 possessions in the first half, you know, 500 metres plus gained, the second quarter in particular. I think what gets lost in this is Jai Simpkin was just as good, wasn't he, in the first half?
Yeah, Jai Simpkin was enormous as well. So the two of them really combined to take complete control of that centre square there for a good sort of 40-minute period where it just seemed like it was a training drill. So, again, Dean, you know, we have talked about it before, but you sort of think, God, you imagine if you had Taron Thomas in there and a fit Cunnington and Will Phillips and Jed Anderson and Tommy Powell, and you start to think, you know, that's a really good core of midfielders to be able to run through and complement guys like Jai and LDU.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what I forgot to mention was Ben Cunnington and Jed Anderson. When they went in the middle, I think they attended, I'll have a look in a second, I think they attended 12 centre bounce attendances in the first half, if that's a word. Ben Cunnington did, with Luke Davies-Uniac 15 and Jai Simpkin 15 and Jed Anderson 5. They were the main four in the midfield. And Ben Cunnington, Jed Anderson, they sacrificed their game. Like, if you watch the hit-outs, they were well outside the centre square. I mean, Goldstein was just tapping it to anywhere near Simpkin and LDU. And they were just doing all the work, and the other two were just sacrificing their own game for the good of those two. They just wanted to give them space, and we got some really good clearances. So, yeah, no, it was something very special, and something we've been lacking this year. So, yeah, no, and yeah, I mean, that, those two individuals, LDU particularly, I mean, he's probably, you know, one of the best midfielders in the competition. If he was at a good team like Melbourne and Collingwood, he'd be talking a lot more. But, I think we're only seeing the start of something pretty big at the moment with him as far as his career goes. We'll talk about the negatives now. I think we're the only club that can go from a fairly healthy list to an injury crisis in the same game. We pretty much got three or four injuries out of the game in about half an hour. Did you see many negatives? I might mention a couple of players, but I'll let you go first.
Oh, look, I don't know about sort of out-and-out negatives. There's obviously, Dean, some concerns, you know, regarding some player output, but I didn't really see anything super negative.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention, Callum Coleman-Jones. Where have you seen his development at the club this year?
Oh, look, he probably hasn't come on the way we'd hoped. To the extent where I think he'd be the kind... Oh, I think he's in a position, Dean, where over the pre-season, if Sherry gets fit and Comben gets fit and Goldstein stays, I don't know that he's an automatic selection.
Yeah, I mean, look, he does some really good things. Like, he did some good things inside 50. And you think, oh, he took a nice mark, got a hold of the ball, kicked it straight through the middle. And then he just does some really, like, sloppy things. Like, got out-bustled in the ruck by, what's his name, O'Brien, at one stage, which was really soft. I just feel like, you know, the difference between him and a Tristan Sherry, you know, he's a big guy, Callum Coleman-Jones, and Tristan Sherry's a big guy. And Tristan Sherry isn't afraid to throw his body around.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Tristan Sherry's an unsociable footballer, Whereas Callum Coleman-Jones, he seems like a really nice guy.
Yeah, well, look, I don't know if he's a nice guy, but I think Sherry definitely enjoys the physical side of the ruck work.
Yeah, and I'd like to see Callum Coleman-Jones. Like, he doesn't have to, be aggressive like Tristan Sherry, but he has to be a bit more aggressive than what he is at the moment. He's just because he's a big body, he's probably 200 centimetres, 100 kilos. He's an intimidating presence. So I just wish he'd, when he tackles someone, he really tackles them hard. Like, he doesn't have to, throw their heads in the ground or anything like that. I'm just saying, know that you're there, and even in marking contests, really, put your knee into someone's back and just, put your full body into it, going for the big pack marks and so forth. But, I just feel like that's lacking out of his game at the moment. Do you see him as a – I see him as a better inside 50 player, like as a forward rather than a ruckman.
Possibly. I haven't seen a lot of his ruck work that makes me think, he's the natural predecessor to Goldstein. So, maybe as a more of a balance between forward and centre bounce. And then, hopefully he just starts to develop into a bit more of a consistent footballer.
Yeah, hopefully. He's only still played 19 AFL games, so he's still got a long way to go. He's still 23, so we'd like to see him. And with the money we paid, I suppose we're putting a little bit of pressure on him to, really develop quicker than normal, because I think he signed a 5-year deal or 4-year deal or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But, he's on a fair bit of money, that's for sure. So, and Charlie Lazara, how did you see his game? Look, I think he got criticised a little bit. And fair enough, early he did fumble a couple handballs early that he was probably running into an open goal. But I thought he was okay, and he's playing a new role. Like, he's not playing midfield; he's playing half forward. How have you seen him?
Well, I thought, look, he did, like you, Dean. I think he made some panic decisions. Maybe just didn't have that sort of calmness in the situation as a young player. But as that sort of small half forward, we don't have a lot of options running through. I watched Phoenix Spicer on the weekend, and he was basically unsighted for the huge chunk of the twos game. Jack Marnie's got, he's got his detractors. I thought Lazaro was okay. I would have liked for him to have kicked that goal. Some of his handballs, I thought, put players under pressure that didn't need to. But I think half the problem is getting the ball, and he managed to do that.
Yeah, I think he got 15 touches for the game. Which is not too bad. 6 kicks, 9 handballs. That kick a goal in the third quarter really hurt us at the time. Like, that little dribble, I don't know why he didn't just kick a drop punt. He's got a long way to go. I think he's getting better as that half forward, crumbing type of forward. And like you said, we don't have many options. I mean, Phoenix Spicer, like you said, he didn't set the world on fire in the reserves on the weekend. Jack Marnie has been in and out of the team all year, probably, hasn't developed as well as we would have liked as well, because I felt like at the start of the year, I thought he was going to be a good, crumbing forward. So, there's a bit to go there. We might as well talk about our skipper. So, where do you see Jack Zeeble at? Do you think he'll be in our round one team next year?
Dean, I don't know, to be honest. I think... on effort and his love of the jumper, yes. On what he contributes as far as, on-field pressure and, scoreboard pressure and stuff like that, you'd say no. My biggest concern with Jack is that, he had no tackles for the game. Playing as a forward, and Paul Curtis had 4. Right, if you're not going to get a lot of disposals, you've got to put pressure on and kick goals. Paul Curtis is doing that. Jack is doing neither.
Yeah, he's probably got a couple of goals, I think, in the second quarter, which was good because he started the game off really poorly. Like a couple, I think he dropped a chest mark, and then got caught holding the ball a couple of times. Yeah. And I thought, oh, geez, here we go. The Twitter universe is going to go nuts at him again, and calling for his head. But, look, it was it's probably a little bit sad to see that he's just he's starting to fall off that cliff a little bit now. We kind of see that. He won't be captain next year. There's no doubt about that. And at the moment, with our forward line, it's already slow as it is, and we struggle to lock the ball in. I couldn't see him being in a round one team next year. Like, I think we'd like to get another small forward, to be honest with you, that can put a little bit of pressure on the defenders, on rebounding defenders. So, he's got an uphill battle. I mean, you never know. I mean, if it's Clarkson, like we hope you do, he might be able to get a role out of him, and he might be able to get the best out of him. So, yeah, I'm not so sure. Have you heard how serious his shoulder injury is?
No, I haven't actually, Dean. It seemed to he seemed to know something was wrong straight away. So that didn't look promising. But no, I haven't heard any reports.
I doubt he'll look. He's a pretty tough unit, and he's not going to go off injured unless he really is injured. Like, he's one of the toughest North Melbourne players. I mean, outside of Glenn Archer, we've seen. So I mean, obviously it's a serious injury, and I'd be surprised if he's playing this week. So I suppose at the end of the day, it gives opportunities to other guys that might not have got it because he was in the team this week. Like, I asked Ricky during the last week, should he be dropped? But he said, you're not going to achieve anything by dropping him now. He's a captain of the club. It doesn't seem a good example. So, now it's probably worked out okay, and unfortunately for Jack, with his shoulder injury. So, we'll see how we go. We might as well go to, possible team changes for the last round. Who do you want to see? Do you want to see, I've mentioned a few that I would like to see this week. What about yourself? Anyone in particular or any players you want to come out or anything like that?
Well, I think there's obviously the obvious ones with Thomas and Jason Horne-Francis. I think that's probably a given. Particularly with the injuries. But one kid that's impressed me a lot this year, Dean, has been Goda. And I thought he was good again on the weekend in the first sort of two and a bit quarters that I watched. So, look, you don't want to make wholesale changes ever, really, but it's the last round. I wouldn't mind seeing him get his opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, even I thought Jackson Archer was really good on the weekend, so you probably couldn't get him out. It's probably about the options of who would come out for him. Like, you could probably, rest Callum Dawson for the last round and just put in, Josh Goddard. Yeah, like you said, he's a good rebound 50 defender. He gives a good dash. He's got good skills. He's definitely one player I'd like to see get this opportunity this week. But if not, I'm sure he'll be in contention for round one next year after a good pre-season. I'd like to see Charlie Condon get an opportunity. He's probably the main one, but Jason Francis as well, Taron Thomas. I'd like to see them all come into the team. It looks like we might have a few injuries, so they might get their opportunity this week. So, they're probably the main ones. And I'd like to, and like you said, maybe Callum Coleman-Jones goes back to the twos and give Charlie Condon the second ruck spot. So, it's going to be an interesting selection, not dilemma this week, but, there's options, which is unusual, isn't it?
Correct. So, it'll be interesting to see whether those, particularly Condon, gets a go again. He played last round last year. So he's a chance to bookend it. Either way, I hope that the boys, get up put in a great performance for the last game. And, I wouldn't be disappointed if, there was a good three or four changes. If it's injury, so be it. But, I think it'd be a good chance to see a couple of new faces.
Yeah, 100%. And hopefully Ben Cunnington can play this week. For the home crowd as well, because you might get three or four more thousand people coming through the turnstile. So it'll be good to show our respects to him. So that'll be good. I'll probably just finish off with, have you been impressed with Lee Adams as coach?
I think he's – look, I thought that his worst probably moment was in the Hawthorn game when we didn't drop players behind kicking into the wind. I thought that was one that probably really kind of fried us. But otherwise, I think what he's done has been pretty good and the players seem to have responded. So I'd like to keep him. I'd like him to stay at the club and in a development role or in some sort of an assistant role. But I think most of what he's done has been very positive.
Yeah, 100%. Even the way we set up on Saturday, just little things like using Ben Cunnington and Jed Anderson in the square as a decoy, because he knows LDU and Jai Simpkin will do work if you give him space. And, trying to set up a press as well. In 5 weeks, I've been really impressed with what he's been able to do for a 34-year-old. He's a very switched on coach. And I think he'll go back to the VFL next year and work with those boys. I certainly hope so. Him and Tom Link will continue to work there. So, I've been very impressed with him. And, it looks like we're going to get Clarkson. So, if worst case scenario, we did, he was our coach. Obviously, we're a bit burnt by, Reece Shaw. But, I would have no qualms with him being a senior coach down the line or, a senior assistant or anything like that, maybe next year. So, I think there's a bit of talent there. So, anyway, I'll get better as he gets older. Anyways, Frank, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, mate, nothing at all. Just, if you're listening, make sure that you get down there on Saturday and farewell the boys. And hopefully we have an announcement prior to then, Dean, which we're all waiting for. It's like waiting for your mother-in-law to leave. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. But no, that's really about it.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like forever, doesn't it? Like, we're sort of waiting and waiting and waiting, and the day keeps getting extended. So, we're here on Friday. We heard tomorrow, possibly. 2 weeks ago, we heard it was going to happen then. So, and now we're here and maybe next week. So,
mate, we'll just keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully there's a lot of good news prior to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and like Frank said, definitely get down if you can. Saturday afternoon, it's not a bad time. Definitely get behind them. And, hopefully, we can put in a really good performance and a win because, look, Gold Coast are there for the taking now. They seem to look like they've checked out for the season a little bit. So, and we're sort of we're pretty much, touch wood, we're starting to get a little bit healthy now too. So, hopefully that, we've got, pretty much almost a full 20, a best 22 to pick from outside of a couple. We'll have a good team and hopefully put in a good performance because our supporters have been very loyal this year. So, we'll see how we go, Frank.
Oh, absolutely, mate. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds good. All right, Frank. Well, thanks very much for coming on. I appreciate it and I'll chat to you soon.
Take care, mate.
So thanks to Frank once again for coming on the show. That's it for this episode. I will be back later in the week. We'll do a bit of preview of the Round 23 game coming up against Gold Coast Sun. I'm sure there'll be plenty more news in the coming days. There always seems to be, so I'll catch up on that. Hopefully, like Frank said, we've got an announcement to make with a new coach, but we'll see how we go. I'm not too stressed about that at the moment. Anyways, once again, thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the retweets, likes, comments you put on the show. It really helps out the show a lot. It's definitely going out to more people. And that's all I can ask. We've got the best supporters in the universe as far as supporters go. That's great use of the English language there. But without you guys, this podcast wouldn't be possible. And you can easily do a podcast, but it wouldn't be going out to so many North supporters, which is the main thing, I guess. So it's going out to you guys and it creates a discussion point. And thanks again for all the support you do. So, that's it for this episode. Like I said, I'll be back later in the week. And today, I'll leave a shout-out to the greatest ever, Wayne Carey. Bye for now.